I'm Arun Venugopal, and this is The Takeaway. All this week, we're exploring the link between guns and suicide. In the U.S., nearly two-thirds of all gun-related deaths are the result of suicide. And yet, much of the national focus on gun reform policy has been on mass shootings, which only account for 2% of gun-related deaths. Tanzina Vega sat down with Mike Anestis, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of Southern Mississippi, to discuss how his research is trying to get a better understanding of the best laws and policies to curb suicide deaths by gun.
We don't know as much as we would like to for a variety of reasons, but we know that there's really sort of a couple of different approaches you can take that likely are going to be very helpful. And one is the legislative side of things, and so things like universal background checks or extreme risk protection orders. The other side is sort of a non-legislative approach where you're largely promoting safe firearm storage in the home and temporary storage away from the home during times of stress.
Is there data that shows that there's a link between places that have more lax gun regulations and the rate at which people who die by suicide via firearm?
Yes, absolutely. And you can speak in terms of how restrictive it is or not, just broadly, and you'll find support there. But you can also get more specific about certain types of legislation. And so you see sort of really stronger data for things like licensing laws in states that have them. There's evidence that those can boost the effect of universal background checks and really prevent things like firearm suicide. And also, they're newer, but the data for things like extreme risk protection orders, or what some people call red flag laws, where you can petition a court to temporarily remove access to a firearm if someone is deemed to be at imminent risk themselves or someone else, there's data supporting that those may in fact be very sort of life-saving measures. The question is, where will they pass?
Red flag laws got a lot of attention this summer after mass shootings in Texas and in Ohio. Are you saying that they are effective as a means for preventing not just mass shootings, but also suicide by firearm?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that we need more data, but the data that's out there is compelling and it comes from multiple sources across the country. There are researchers at Duke in California and other places who have sort of independently demonstrated some supportive evidence for the utility of these laws. The laws are different from state to state, and so it's hard to zoom out too far and say everything, you know, works the exact same way across the board, but the general structure is the same and the support so far has been compelling.
Now, red flag laws are also something, and the idea of sort of giving up your gun, even if it's temporary, is something that I would imagine has gotten some pushback. What have you found in that regard?
So the good news on that front, actually, is because ERPOs protect due process, there's a lot less resistance than you might expect. And for that reason, you actually see these laws passing in several states that have Republican governors and Republican state houses. And so there's a lot more sort of bipartisan support. And so I think it's a matter of how you frame it. If you frame it to gun owners in general as someone's going to come take your guns away, then no, of course, you're going to get a very quick rejection of that idea. But if you talk about the idea of a court has been petitioned and evidence has been presented that this individual is at imminent risk to themselves or someone else, and so we're going to temporarily restrict access to firearms, but that person can also appeal, and it's not a permanent ban on access. They typically, on average, are for about 1 year. There's a lot of autonomy that is retained in those laws, and so there's a lot less pushback than you'd expect. But there is pushback, for sure. The gun lobby does not universally support these at all, and there are plenty of red states who are promoting sort of anti-red flag laws, which is sort of an asinine idea, quite frankly, but something that exists.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what we're looking for in the case of a family member who may want to report another family member. We talked a lot about this over the summer in terms of somebody who might be at risk for committing a mass shooting. But if somebody is considering harming themselves with a gun or dying by suicide using a firearm, what should family members be looking for there?
Yeah, and it's a great question and unfortunately a tricky one. A lot of the things we think about as risk factors for suicide aren't all that telling. There isn't one thing to look for, and I wouldn't put the weight on the shoulders of family members to have the belief that they're necessarily going to know. The most common experience with the death by suicide by firearm is folks behind saying, I never saw it coming. And maybe they can try and piece the story together afterwards, but that's not really how it works. And so I would caution folks against believing that they could necessarily see that. And that's why I so often encourage safe storage in the absence of suicidal thoughts so that people aren't waiting for the house to obviously be on fire before they buy a fire extinguisher.
Why do you think there's so much focus on mass shootings when it comes to this conversation and less focus on death by suicide?
I think that with mass shootings, it feels viscerally like, oh my gosh, this could happen to me and my kids. You know, I grew up a couple towns away from Newtown, and I think about that story and I still lose my breath. And so it feels something like something that somebody could do to us. And so there's an energy to talk about it and to try and protect ourselves from it and to find a response. And suicide, unless you are suicidal, often to people feels irrelevant. I'm not the person who would do that. That would never happen to me. And so one of the messages I try to convey to people is that most people think they'd never be suicidal until they're suicidal. And that's why we prepare for it ahead of time. It can impact anybody. And most folks' vision of a suicidal person is fundamentally different than what most folks are like who die by suicide in the United States. And so I think people don't connect with the idea. And then secondarily to that, I think that in efforts to talk about the importance of limiting access to firearms and considering solutions to gun violence, I think that a lot of elected officials and lobbyists have promoted the idea of, well, this is just a mental health problem. Don't talk about the gun. This is really about depression. And even as they are slashing mental health budgets, they are creating the impression that this is a separate issue. And so we don't have to talk about it to the extent that they often want to not include suicide deaths in gun violence death totals. And so I think there's also just been a conscious effort to take suicide out of the equation. I mean, when you take 2/3 of the gun deaths out of the equation, you make gun violence sound like a less severe problem.
Micah Nestis is an associate professor of psychology at the University of Southern Mississippi. He spoke recently with Tanzina Vega. And if you or someone you know might be considering suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. For crisis support in Spanish, call 1-888-628-9454. More on this tomorrow on The Takeaway. Check out the series at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is supported by the Joyce Foundation, investing in policies to advance racial equity and economic mobility for the next generation in the Great Lakes region. More at joycefdn.org.
By Noom, a personalized weight loss program based in psychology for helping people change their habits and conquer their goals. Learn more at Noom, N-O-O-M.com.
And Indeed, with its skills test built for employers who want to see a deeper sense of the person behind a resume. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.